If she is the one who'll break the spell, you must finally learn to love.
Hello and welcome to episode 153 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemiroff, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Puchko and Angie Hahn.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
So we are super lucky that Christy's back with us this week because we're going to start the show with a little rundown of her experience at South by Southwest and all the cool stuff she saw. And then we're going to roll into the big review, which, of course, is of Beauty and the Beast. So, Christy, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah. So I was at South by Southwest, which is in Austin, Texas, and it's where they celebrate genre films with a wide array of bonkers movies. So it's kind of the perfect place for me, and I want to talk about my favorites of the fest, or in some cases, the most talked about of the fest. So I want to start off with Colossal, which is a movie I'm hoping we'll review in full when it comes out in, I believe, April. Yes, it's coming April 7th.
I saw that, actually.
Yeah. I think we've all seen it, but I feel like we can save a full review for when it's actually coming out. Yep. But yeah, and I think maybe that'll be one where we'll go into spoilers because this is a really interesting movie. But it's from Nacho.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, it's from Nacho Vigalondo, who did Time Crimes. And he's this interesting Spanish filmmaker who's making his first American movie. And you might know it as the Anne Hathaway kaiju movie. But it's really cool because when I went to see it, I thought this is an interesting premise, which is essentially that for some reason an American woman is controlling a kaiju in South Korea. And I thought, but like, once she uncovers like why this is happening, what's the story? And I will just say this, that once it gets to the second act, he finds a very interesting way to take that story in a new direction and do something really cool with it. It was a blast to see that at South By. I had already seen it before, but it was great to watch it again. And then I got to talk to Nacho, so my interview for that will be coming out on in waves, actually, on Screen Rant, because I have some spoiler stuff we're going to save until the movie's actually out. But that was super blast. That's my favorite of the fest, but because it's played other places, let's talk about movies that were just there. So one of the big premieres of the night was Baby Driver, which showed that Saturday at the biggest theater. And Baby Driver is the new Edgar Wright movie. It's an action musical, which the first trailer is not making clear. This is a musical. It's the whole premise is that there's a getaway driver named Baby, played by Ansel Elgort, and he listens to music and kind of lives his life by the sound in his ears. So, like, his car chase scenes, just him running to get coffee, all of this is cut to music. And it's actually when they shot it, they had the music playing so that he could play along as needed to do these things. Down to the fact that, like, there are gunshot scenes that that play in sync where the rat-a-tat-tat is, like, playing along with, like, percussion and stuff. Like, it's all there. And it's bonkers. It's interesting because it's a movie that Edgar Wright says he wrote 22 years ago or conceived 22 years ago. And I enjoyed it a lot. It's a lot of fun. That's coming out in on August 11th. So we'll talk about this more in full later. But I just want to prepare people that the idea is really fun. The execution is a blast. But, like, the story and stuff kind of feels a little like he wrote it when he was really young. It just feels a little like, yeah, it's simple. But it was a blast. It was one of the most talked about things there. Another thing that I quite enjoyed, I'm going to save the biggest title for the last in case you guys are like, how is she not talking about this yet? Just give me a minute. One that I liked that didn't get a lot of talk about, but I think should, is called Tragedy Girls. Perry, you would love Tragedy Girls. I'm going to highly recommend you seek that one out. It is about two girls played by Alexandra Shipp and Brianna Hildebrand who basically are aspiring serial killers. It's a horror comedy. It has Joss Hutcherson and Craig Robinson. And I'm saying it's like Heathers meets Clueless because it's got like the really dark brand of humor of Heathers. But then like in Clueless, these girls are real friends. Like even when they go through things, like they fight, they're real friends. And they just really want to kill people together. And I thought it was such fun. It does not have distribution yet. So when it does, like, I will be talking about it left and right because I really like this one. A movie that I'm going to get to really quickly before I go into the last one is The Disaster Artist, which is the one about The Room. Oh, I only have 1 minute left, so I'm going to just say The Disaster Artist is interesting. I'm hoping that it'll get a release date because I want to talk to you guys about that. It's a complex thing where is it celebrating the person or making fun of them? I'm not sure even the movie knows, and there seems to be a divide on that. But for me, the biggest title at the festival was Atomic Blonde, which is coming out in July. It is the Charlize Theron movie where she is essentially, quote-unquote, blonde wick. She plays an MI6 agent who goes to Berlin for spy reasons. Who cares about the plot?
this is Charlize Theron playing like an action icon. It is so much fun. She just looks fabulous the whole movie. The fight scenes are so brutal that like the audience was literally like, it was like a rock concert. The audience was just cheering and applauding and screaming. And like when she came out at the end, like she was so humble and she's like, guys, this means a lot to me. And I was like, shut up, you're Atomic Blonde. This is the best. Like it is also sort of an action musical because while there's not diegetic movie that music that she can hear, it's set in the 80s, and the way they use 80s songs in this to like score the action was so much fun. It's just beautiful.
Before we wrap up, real quick, who would win in a fight, Atomic Blonde or Furiosa?
I mean, I gotta go with Atomic Blonde. Like they both fight like to the death. Like no, like they will pull cheap shots if it's gonna get them to survive, but like. One, Furiosa has an arm that can be ripped away from her, so that's a disadvantage. And two, Atomic Blonde takes on people that are, like, twice her size, and in hand-to-hand combat steadily beats their ass. Like, she's not a superhero. There's all right. bruises all over, and she gets her ass kicked, but she keeps going. It was so much fun to watch.
I can't wait.
How many times do you think Charlize Theron's going to hear that question in interviews leading up to the release of that movie?
I'm sure at least 100.
Someone should do, like, a super cut of all of them as they come out.
Right? She, but she actually produced this one, which is really cool, because, like, they talk about how she made this movie, and, it is a trip. Like, she talked about how she destroyed some of the back teeth in her mouth from grinding them so hard when she was training. Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah. That's going to give me nightmares, thank you.
When you watch what she's doing, it's astonishing. Like, it reminded me of, like, The Raid, where I was like, someone died making this, right? Because it's not, like, shiny, fun action. It's the kind of action where you're like, oh, what are we doing? Oh, God. Ah, like, it was a blast.
Alrighty. Thank you for that rundown. Now I got a whole bunch of stuff that I'm looking forward to seeing. Alright, so now it's time for our main review, which is of Beauty and the Beast. Here's a synopsis that you don't need. An adaptation of the Disney fairy tale about a monstrous-looking prince and a young woman who fall in love. There you go. That's that. Accurate. Yeah.
It does not mention the young woman is exceptionally attractive. Fail, IMDb.
Well, yeah, I guess that's an issue. Not really. There's really, I mean, everyone keeps saying there's no, you know, spoiling this movie. It is a straightforward, for the most part, adaptation of the original classic, except for a few songs and scenes that were added to it, which we'll get to a little bit later, but I thought those were really well done. Overall, though, I liked this quite a bit. It's a little rough around the edges in some respects, and the thing that stood out to me most that I didn't love is just the design of the beast. And I keep saying it might be because I saw it in such close proximity to Kong, where like a giant ape just looked so real. It looked like I could like reach out and touch him, and this has like a cartoonish feel to it. So it took a little getting used to, but I think the way that Dan Stevens just played that role and the delivery of some of the lines and just, I mean, the whole world around him, like the production design in this is incredible. All the characters are like super, super likable and fun to watch. The songs are great. So it's just all of that came together. And eventually I started to stop thinking about all those things that I was picking on. And, you know, a thing that I was noticing a lot in the clips that they released was the cinematography, which normally doesn't catch my eye to such an extent, but in the clips that were released, specifically Belle's opening number and the Gaston and LeFou song, is that, like, naturally where my eye wanted to be looking, I wasn't looking at the things that I wanted to see. And that was something that, again, you know, I noticed right off the bat because that happens to be one of the opening numbers of the movie. But as I got more and more into it, I just forgot about it. But the reason that I loved Beauty and the Beast so, so much is because at the end, I was just like, I had chills. I had tears in my eyes. It's just the same effect that story had in the animated classic. It's still there. And that's the reason why I'm so happy Disney is doing these straightforward adaptations of these classics, because it's going to bring them to a whole nother generation who might not go back and watch the cartoons, and it's just a special, fun new way of telling these stories.
I mean, I get what you mean, and, you know, so I don't know if you guys remember, but, like, when we reviewed Cinderella, I loved Cinderella, and I was just like, you know, if this is the kind of thing that Disney's going to do, I'm going to be so happy. I love the Jungle Book. This one, I was, like, I didn't hate it. But I was, like, very, like, eh on it. Like, you know, there are moments that I was just like, this is so fun. I'm having a lot of fun. But there's a lot of filler. It is 45 minutes longer than the original one. And it doesn't feel like So with Cinderella, I kind of felt like what they did was they, like, really just, like, put the story down. They, like, broke it up into its component parts and was like, what is so important about the story? Why is it worth telling? Why is it stood the test of time? Like, how are we going to tell it in a way that makes sense for the new era? Whereas with Beauty and the Beast, it feels like they just, like, took the original and then just piled 45 minutes of extraneous material on top of it and was like, here you go. And, like, so I found that to be very, like... I mean, like, yeah, it, like, the music is still great, the story's still fun, like, all those things I like. So as a result, like, sure, I had fun in some parts, but there was a lot of parts where it was just like, you know, I kind of was just like, let's move on. We all know where this is going. Like, we don't need to dwell on this. They add more characters that don't need to be there. They add more backstory that doesn't need to be there. They add more songs that, like, nobody even really remembers. Like, it's not bad. I feel like I'm making it sound like I was, like, miserable watching it, which is not the case. But it just feels so unnecessary. Like, I agree with you, Perry, that it's great if Disney wants to, like, remake their classics for a new generation. I love that idea in theory, but I think that, like, Cinderella and Jungle Book were them doing just that, like, kind of making it new again for a new generation. This just feels like it feels like weirdly lazy, despite the fact that I'm sure everyone worked really hard on it. It just, like, but it just doesn't feel like it adds anything new, despite the fact that it's, like, 50% longer. Like, I found that to be weirdly frustrating. And the cinematography thing, yeah, you mentioned that, but I want to go back to it because I found that to be one of the most frustrating and bizarre things about this movie. I was just like, has Bill Condon never shot a movie before? Because, like, exactly as you said, he would, like, walk in a room and then exactly what I would want to look at, the camera would be like, nope, we're going to look at this. We're going to focus on this. You can't even see the background. Like, I was just like, what? Like, Belle walks into her room for the first time and I'm like, okay, let's see the room. And they're like, no, we're going to look at the ceiling and not even the designs on the ceiling, but these weird little, like, gold decorations hanging off the ceiling. I was just like, but what? Like, did you, like, lose the footage and have to, like, use B-roll or, like, what happened there?
I agree with a lot of what Angie said, except the part where she was like, eh, I liked it okay. I hated this. And here's why this bugs me. I love the original Beauty and the Beast. It's probably one of my favorite Disney movies. Like, that Aladdin and Little Mermaid, I had on, like, an eternal loop in my childhood. Why I don't like this one is because that, like Angie said, with Cinderella, with Jungle Book, I think that they were trying to be like, okay, what can we bring to this? Not just in a modern audience, but what is our advantage in having live action people be in this movie? And this, I don't think, takes advantage of live action people. And it's not just because so many of the characters are CGI, because Jungle Book was like 99.9% CGI, but it seemed to work. This, oh man, like... For one thing, I think it's incredible that they don't credit the original screenwriter screenwriting credits, because 80% of this script is pulled right from the old movie. And I know that because I know that movie by heart. And it's not even just, like, the words, the phrasings, like, the way people say them, they repeat. And I was like, this is so weird, because it's constantly making me compare it to a movie I already love, but it's steadily failing to be that movie. So that's driving me nuts. They changed some things about Belle that I thought were really problematic. No, problematic's not the right word, because that makes it sound like I'm talking about feminism and whatever. Belle in this one, like, can build a washing machine, and they seem to think that makes her interesting. I would argue it was more interesting when Belle actually, like, was snotty with people, because it gave her more than just being a Disney princess. Like, in the original book, you know, she, like, stands up to Gaston, and she's kind of, like, pushes back against him. In this movie, like, Gaston is like, oh, what book is that? And, like, Belle's just kind of like, oh, it's this one. Have you read it? And he's like, no. And she's like, mm-hmm. But she's not, like, in the original, Gaston is making fun of her for reading at all. He's like, women shouldn't read, people shouldn't read. And she's like, ugh. And, like, I connected to that because I was a nerdy bookworm that people kept being like, why are you reading? And I was like, because it's so much better than whatever you're doing, football. So, like, that's gone. So that's, like, an element you can't really relate to. But then they try to make, I did not care for Belle the character in this, because I think they tried so hard to make her, like, an outright role model, and maybe that's why they took away her being kind of snotty to people. But by doing that, like, she loses some of the character. And then the Beast's animation, I agree with you, I don't think it's photoreal, which, coming off of Jungle Book, I'm like, why is it not photoreal? But I think it's because they pushed back his face to make it look more human-like. Like, he doesn't have a snout. And I think it threw him into this uncanny valley that he's actually hard to look at for long periods of time. And it's not because he's ugly, but it's because your brain is like, what is this? Is this real? Is this cartoon? What am I doing? And so it's really hard to connect to Dan Stevens' performance, even though I think he is doing a good voice performance and actually a motion capture performance, but you lose so much in his face. It's very upsetting. I just was genuinely really disappointed. They shot for shot recreate huge sections of the movie, which felt really weird and unnecessary. Like, I think that what it was is maybe they were like, okay, now with Cinderella and Jungle Book, we can kind of play it up a little bit because people like those movies, but they don't obsess over those movies. And if you go on like Tumblr and stuff, people obsess about Beauty and the Beast. So I think they felt like we have to stay truer to this. But I think they say it's so true that it's not a remake, it's a reenactment. And it's just like, why am I watching this? Especially when Emma Watson cannot sing. Like, what are we doing? I don't understand. There are actually people out there who can sing, they could have cast, and instead they're like, Emma Watson, people love her. And I think she's great. Not in this movie. In this movie, she's a total, I think Angie yesterday referred to her as a drip, and I absolutely agree.
Yeah, like, it's
a perfect description.
One thing that, like, so after I saw the live action one, a few days later, I saw the original, and I was just like, oh, like, these characters seem, despite the fact that they're actually more fleshed out in the live action one, they have, like, more backstory, like, more, this movie keeps trying to explain everything, so they have all more of all that, but they're actually a lot more fun in the animated one, like, for some, like, they just seem more alive, like, I feel like in the live action one, I don't know why, I think pacing is probably part of it, but they just both come off like such drips. Like, you're just like, these are the last people I want to hang out with at a party. I'm glad they found each other because they fucking deserve each other. No one else should have to tolerate their fucking nonsense. And like there's like a moment where Beast and Belle, one of the big things they connect over is that they both like to read. So he's like, what do you like to read? And she's like, I like to read Shakespeare. He's like, which Shakespeare? And she's like, Romeo and Juliet. And he's like, ugh. And I'm like, she's the first person that you have talked to in like 10 years. Like, maybe you could be a little bit more like weirdly,
but I thought it was funny because they gave her the most basic bitch title to like, where it's like, I guess she's a teen girl. Of course, she liked Romeo and Juliet, but it was also just like, okay.
It's not like his is better. Like he's like, I like King Arthur, and I'm just like, okay. All
right,
sure.
Right.
What? Whatever.
But then it's like, oh, and then it's like, it felt like they took time out of developing who Belle could be, and instead they're like, oh, ever wonder what happened to Belle's mom? No? Well, she died of the plague, just in case you were wondering. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening in this? Like, the parts that weren't from the original movie that they shove in, a lot of them I was just like, I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know why this is here. I don't know. Like, Gaston tries to murder Maurice.
I
want to
talk about Gaston.
Why?
Can I talk about Gaston?
Why? Let's talk about Gaston, because Gaston, aside from that add-on that seems completely unessential and weird, I did love Gaston.
Gaston is the... Okay, I'm sorry.
I just kind of want an entire movie just with Luke Evans as Gaston and Josh Gad as LeFou. I want like a buddy musical comedy with the two of them, and I will be very happy. I think Luke Evans is the best piece of casting in this entire movie. He's really incredible.
Who expects that from Luke Evans? Let's be real.
Luke Evans is not as big of a thing as he could be yet, but I feel like it really is only a matter of time, because I've never seen him deliver.
But they kept trying to make him a thing. Like, the way studios kept pushing Luke Evans, it kept being like, they were like, watch, he's going to be the next guy. You're going to be crazy about this guy. And it's just repeatedly not happened. And then in this, I was like, I did not expect Disney villain to be where Luke Evans makes sense.
I think he might be like a Chris Pine type, where he actually is a person that they kept trying to push as a lead, like kind of a sober, serious lead, when they should have been leaning into the fact that, first of all, he actually has an extensive musical theater background, and it's weird that it took this long for anyone to be like, maybe we should put him in a musical. But like, I think he also just like I liked him in High Rise a lot last year too. So I think maybe he actually just does better with like exaggerated, like kind of character actory roles instead of these like really bland leads. But yes, Gaston, I think the musical number Gaston is the only one that, if anything, like lives up to, or maybe even is an improvement on the original. I think that Gaston, the character, is just so much fun in this, to the point where it's actually a problem, because until he has this like really crazy, like nonsensical switch at the end where he suddenly becomes super evil, like, you actually like really like him. He seems so much more fun than Beast. He's actually weirdly like nicer to most people than Beast. It's a problem when Gaston is like the person that you're rooting for in this movie. But yeah, Perry, sorry, you were saying about Gaston and LeFou.
I have absolutely no clue.
Sorry.
Well, like, LeFou, I was like less excited about, and I actually blame the marketing ahead of the movie, because once they talked about the exclusively quote unquote gay moment, I expected that character to be openly gay, because that's how they described him in the press materials. Like how Bill Condon described him. But it's like, there's actually one moment where they specifically talk about, like, well, how come you're not with a girl, LeFou? And he does not say, I'm gay. He says, like, oh, I've been told I'm too clingy. And I was like, okay, so you could have just not had that moment at all, but you had a moment where he could have come out, and he chooses not to. And then the exclusively gay moment is just at the end he dances with another guy who's been coded as LGBTQ.
As possibly, not even LGBTQ. He gets dressed up in women's clothing and then, like, isn't immediately horrified.
Yeah, so I would say coded. It's not even, like, I don't know. It's, like, more, like, because in the original movie, there is a part where the wardrobe dresses a man in women's clothing, and he's so freaked out by it, like, in such homo panic that he runs out of the castle in terror. So in this one, they have her dress up three men, and two of them run away horrified, and one is like, ooh, so that's supposed to be like, see, there's a gay person for LeFou to fall in love with, because that's all you need, is to both be gay people.
Right.
It feels like slightly more progressive than the old one, but
So, Perry, you're the one that really loved this one. What was your favorite part of it? Like, what was your favorite number, maybe?
I think I'd have to go with Be Our Guest.
Oh, really? Why did you like this one? Did you like this version better than the animated version?
This is probably why I liked it a little more than you guys, is I haven't watched the animated version in a couple of years, so I'm a little detached from it. I wasn't specifically sitting there and nitpicking lines of dialogue and looking for things that are better or worse the entire time. Like, I'm far enough removed from it that obviously I still remember the story well enough, but I sat down and I was kind of just like watching it for what it was in the moment, and I think in that way, it kind of, you know, met all of my requirements, at least, or what I wanted to get out of it. But, you know, the points you guys bring up are totally fair. But the Be Our Guest thing, I thought, just kind of looked beautiful. And just the way you could kind of feel the audience getting into it around you, that was one of those moments where it felt really important to me to be seeing it in a full theater packed with everybody. Because you can almost, like, you ever sit next to someone and it's like they start tapping their hand, but like they don't want anyone to see. It's just like everyone started to kind of like shift in their seat. And then when that number was over, everybody clapped. And I'm like, I want to clap too. That was great. So, and that's kind of just the feeling that I got from the whole thing by the end of it. I found it to be just like a pleasure to be enveloped in that world all over again. And I was completely moved by it. And I had a blast. There's definitely room for improvement, but I am perfectly fine with how this thing turned out. It cannot compare to Cinderella or The Jungle Book, but I most certainly had a good time with it. And that above all else is what I wanted out of this.
It's fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so maybe we should wrap up. What do you guys think? Would you recommend this, or would you tell people to run away screaming?
I'd say watch the original. I don't recommend this. I thought it was, the original's better. It's a better movie. And I don't know. I understand that people now want to take their kids to see it, and I get that. I'm fine with that. If you're like, I want a day out, and this movie is for kids. Sure, I guess maybe cover their eyes when it gets to the scenes where there are people trying to kill the dad and stuff.
Perry?
I definitely recommend checking this out. I think it's a lot of fun, and it's a beautifully shot, not beautifully shot, but it's a beautiful looking movie. It's unfortunate that he doesn't capture specific things the right way just because the costumes and production design are incredible. I'm not noticing the problem with Emma Watson's voice as much as most. I think the entire cast did a great job, and It's a solid Disney adaptation, so I recommend checking it out.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence. I feel like it's a movie that I'm just like, if the idea of like, I really want to see live action Beauty and the Beast, like if that appeals to you, go see it. It's fun to see some of those things recreated, but ultimately I also, if you're asking me to compare them, I think the original is just way better.
Alrighty, so that's it. That's all the time we've got. You guys know what to do. Please go on over to iTunes where you can rate, comment, and subscribe. We have our website, popcornprosecco.com. We are on Twitter at popcornprosecco. Please go on over to our Facebook page and like us there as well. And then all three of us are all over the internet. Angie, you want to take it first?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at AJHN. You can find my writing at Mashable.com, including my review of Beauty and the Beast. And I recently wrote a review of Iron Fist that I had a lot of fun writing. So I hope you have fun reading.
Christy?
I am Christy Puchko on Twitter. That's at KRISTYPUCHKO. And you can read my content all over the web. I'm so tired from South by, I'm screwing up my own tag. But my career highlights can be found at decadentcriminals.com, including I'm putting all of my South by stuff there as I update. So keep an eye there. And you can listen to me on It's Eric Nagel Saturday nights on SiriusXM.
And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at PNMROF and on the Collider Videos YouTube channel. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.